Reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 29. The Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. My subject this morning is Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. I don't know if you are curious enough. Have you counted how many words? 13 words. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. 13 words to take a sinner into heaven. So here we have John the Baptist. As you know, John the Baptist is the forerunner, the introducer of the Savior. And it is interesting that John the Baptist was sent by God himself. And he was prophesied, by the way. He was prophesied. He is one of the exceptions of men, of prophets, that have been prophesied in the Old Testament. Right there in Isaiah chapter 40, in Malachi chapter 3. So you see Isaiah 700 years before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist, his introducer, his forerunner, was prophesied. Malachi, it's 500 years, 400 years before the coming of the Savior. So he was a sent prophet, but he's also the last prophet of the Old Testament. He was still in the sphere, in the domain of the Old Testament when he came. And we read in our reading that John the Baptist said publicly, openly, that he was not the Savior. He was not the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not the Messiah. But he was just a voice crying out in the wilderness. That's how he presented himself to the public. And he was not the light, but a witness to the light. We see again, he makes it clear that there will be no confusion about his person and personality. Now, twice in John chapter 1 here, he says, Behold the Lamb of God. If you look carefully there in verse 35, he repeats again the same thing. I beg your pardon, verse 36. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. That's verse 36. So twice on two consecutive days, he was witnessing to the public that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. Now, interestingly, the word Lamb of God is only found twice in the whole Gospel of John. You don't find it again. But now, when you come to the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, you find Jesus Christ being described as the Lamb of God 28 times. So why am I dwelling on this? Just to express and show that this is a great name of the Lord Jesus Christ. A great name, a valid name, a substantial name. And it means a lot. So in this passage, John chapter 1, verse 29, we see why the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. First of all, if you want to be very precise, who is Christ? Why did he come? For whom did he come? And what did he come to do? All these things are given to us in these 13 words. As I said, to take a sinner, are you a sinner? Of course you are. You don't need anyone to convince you that you are a sinner. But because you are a sinner, the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth. And he came not just as a man, not just as a prophet, not just as a good teacher, not just as an example, not just as a philosopher, but he came to rescue. He came with that unique and exceptional rescue operation, the greatest rescue operation that has ever happened in this world. And it was all performed by the Lord Jesus Christ, unaided, unhelped by any. Why? Because he doesn't need help from anyone. He's God of the very God. So everything here is for us. Behold the Lamb of God. Do you see? This is a great proclamation. I know I'm telling you these things. We have lost any sense of surprise today. People are not surprised anymore. But normally, when these words were uttered 2,000 years ago, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, all the Jews that were there, they opened their eyes. What is he talking about? What is he saying? They understood, actually, what he was speaking about. But it's not just a great proclamation. This was also a good confession. Oh, today, I speak to each one of us. Today, you want to come to the Savior? Oh, this is your confession. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away my sins. It's your confession. It's not just generic or general. I will apply it to myself. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away my sin. And every word is here. Here is emphatic, really. You know, when you look at John chapter 1, there are many, many names. Believe me on that. Many names given to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want me just at random to list some of them for you. First of all, Jesus Christ is called the Word. The Word. The Greek is actually the verb. The verb. It's the speech. The discourse. But this is not a politician's speech or discourse. This is the speech of God. It is God who is speaking to our human race because we have sinned against him. So he comes into our world in as a verb. And you know, a verb is a word of action. So he came into our world with action. But he's not only the word, he's also God. In John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not a God, because John, who is writing these things, was not a polytheist. There is only one God. Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But the Lord Jesus Christ is also called in John chapter 1, the light, the light. He's also called the life. He's also called the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. Don't be surprised. Don't puzzle about the word begotten. It only means the only one of his kind. That's the meaning of the word begotten. The only one of his kind. No parallel, unparalleled, incomparable, the Lord Jesus Christ with any, because God is unique. God is exceptional. So that is what you should read about the Lord Jesus Christ here in John chapter 1. But Jesus Christ is also called in John 1 verse 14, and the Word became flesh. And the Word became flesh and dwelt. The word dwelt there is really, the Greek word there is the word tabernacle. And the Word tabernacled among us. The Word came to pitch its tent among us. So Christ is also the flesh. You see how many names just in one chapter the Lord Jesus Christ has? But that's not all. When you scroll later, you will see he's also called the Messiah. The word Messiah is the word Christ. The same word. The Hebrew word is Messiah. The Greek word is Christos, or Christ in English. That's the meaning. And the word Christ means actually the anointed one, the special one, the chosen one, the exceptional one. That's the meaning of the name Christ. It's not his surname. Christ is his office. It is his office because he has been appointed by God the Father, to come into our world and to take upon himself the punishment. Oh, my dear friends, I don't have words to explain to you the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. What he suffered on behalf of sinners. You know, people go and watch a movie, if it's The Passion or whatever they call it. Those things cannot describe to you the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he suffered? The physical sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ were nothing in comparison to the spiritual sufferings. Here he is, taking upon himself the guilt, the lies, the jealousies, the filth, the rottenness, the corruption of every single person in this world who will ever trust in him. And he was punished there, not by us, but by God himself. He took upon himself as the Son of God the punishment we deserve. But you see, as you read, Jesus Christ is also called the King of Israel. And actually, when you read the book of Revelation, he is called the King of Kings. He rules over all kings. Oh, how can I explain to you this wonderful verse? As I told you, every word is so emphatic there. But I have five headings to help you really to grasp. I hope you wouldn't go back home saying, no, I didn't understand what was said today. Oh, that will be so insane. For your soul's sake, we speak for your soul's sake. Believe me, I don't preach just because I like preaching. Oh no, that's not the purpose. We preach because we care for you. We care for the people. You know, there will be a day of judgment. There will be a day of reckoning, the day of accountability. And if you are found without the blood of Jesus Christ, my dear friend, I have no word to explain what you will suffer. You love music? Do you love music? Oh yes, most young people love music. All the ones, they love music. But in hell, you will never hear the sound of music. Do you like to be a joyful person? I'm sure you do. Happiness? Those are words that do not exist in hell. But look at the first thing I want to tell you this morning. The first thing of five. The first thing, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, means Jesus Christ is the promised Savior. The promised Savior. Right there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, God said, I'm going to send a Savior. And God himself gave the example. You know what God did in Genesis chapter 3? He slaughtered animals to cover Adam and Eve. He slaughtered animals there to cover them. They were naked, naked of their sins, naked of their guilt, naked of their disobedience to God. And God had to clothe them. And that clothing, the blood that God shed, this is at least 4,000 years ago, before Jesus Christ came, it was said already that he would come. It was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world as a sacrifice. But I hope you are surprised again. The lamb here is not an animal. Do you see that? But a person. And in verse 30, in John chapter 1, verse 30, we are told he's a man. He's a man. That's another name given to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. Oh, this man pre-existed. He is before he was born. He is the Lamb of God. Do you see that? He is the Lamb of God, and he is the Lamb for God. And you see the genitive pronoun there, the genitive of possession is important. The Lamb of the possession there. It belongs to God. It means this lamp, you won't find it in a corner shop, you know that. You will not find it in the market. You will not stand today and go back home and say, I will go to the market and find this lamb. No, the lamb is a perfect lamb. It's a holy lamb. It's a blameless lamb. It's a divine lamb. It's a spiritual lamb. It is a sacrificial lamb. And he came. He's the lamb of God. Means that salvation is only from God. My dear brothers and sisters, you will never find salvation with men. No church can save you. No religion can save you. But only the lamb of God. And guess what? This lamb was promised to us before the foundation of the world. Before Adam and Eve were created in the council of God, in the secret council known only to God, he already said there, among the three persons of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ said, Father, I'm going to die for millions and millions of the people who will trust in me. But I must tell you the second thing. Christ is not only the promised Savior, he's also the Passover Lamb. Passover Lamb. I have no time to take you there, but later if you read in Exodus chapter 12, you will see and hear all about the Passover. Remember, the people were in Egypt. They were slaves there for 400 years. And when God sent Moses to deliver and to set free the people of God, he sent, you remember the 10 plagues upon Egypt. God was sending judgment upon the nation of Egypt because they didn't want to let the people of God go, to let them go to worship the Jehovah. And you remember the last plague, all the firstborn children of the nations, Israel and Egypt, would have to die. The angel of death was coming, and the condition to be spared and to be saved, there must be blood on the doorpost. So when the angel of death comes to a house, he sees the blood. That is why it is called Passover. He passes over that home. He doesn't kill the firstborn of that home. And the Jews had to kill a lamb on that occasion, slaughter a lamb. It is again a figure, a symbol of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that, as I said, in Exodus chapter 12. And Christ has come. He's the picture of his blood that will be shed on the cross of Calvary. But the blood of Jesus Christ, you don't have to put it on a doorpost. The blood of Jesus Christ, you need to believe in it and pour it on your soul, on your heart, on your mind, and upon your life. And then I guarantee you, if you do that this morning, you leave this place with the forgiveness of your sins. As an ordinary preacher, I can tell you that my warrant is the promises given to us in the Word of God. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the guarantee you have. It is interesting for me, and I hope you don't mind me telling you this. You know, up to today, in many, many Muslim nations, during the Eid, even in our nation here, people celebrate the Eid. But what comes before the Eid? And I have seen it with my eyes. I did it myself with my father many, many years. We had to slaughter every year, not only one or two, many lambs. And they buy lambs who will become rams. And they were fattened. They were given food to be fattened, because they believe the fatter lamb you sacrifice to their God, the greater God will be favorable to you. But now, Why am I telling you this? You don't have to sacrifice an animal. You don't have to sacrifice anything. You don't have to do good works in order to be saved. The only thing you need to do is to repent from your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Dot. Nothing you need to add to that. That's the difference. But they sacrifice animal after animal. Actually, among the Jews, there was a sacrifice in the morning. There was a sacrifice in the evening. Even the Jews, no Jew has ever believed that the blood of animals will accomplish the forgiveness of his sins. They never believed that. But they believed that these animals sacrificed were just pictures, analogies, and types of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why in the book of the Hebrews, I can give you even a reference, Hebrews 10, verse 12, it says there, once for all, once for all, once for all. That is why we say again to the in the Catholic Church, do you know every Sunday, Jesus Christ is offered again, the Mass. That's the idea behind, but once for all, once for all. If you trust in him, you don't have to do any blood sacrifice, any. You don't have to do money sacrifice. You don't have to go on pilgrimage anywhere. Just where you are now, you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Now let me tell you the third one. Number one, Christ is the promised Savior. Number two, Christ is the Passover Lamb. But look at number three, Christ is the prophesied Lamb. Isaiah 53, if you are accustomed to read the Bible, in Isaiah 53, we read that Christ, by his wounds, by his blood, we are forgiven, we are saved, we are washed, we are cleansed. In Isaiah 53, verse 6 and 7, you find all the work of Christ there. The very word lamb means that he is going to be sacrificed. The Lamb of God prophesied in the Old Testament. All the sacrifices there were pointing to Christ, the Savior. He is the promised Lamb. He is the promised Savior. And he is also the prophesied Lamb. He will offer his life to save sinners. May I just give you three occasions? Many, I can give you at least 30 of them, really find explicitly in the Old Testament. But just for time's sake, may I give you three occurrences where a prophet in the Old Testament said that Christ is coming to die on the cross of Calvary as the Lamb of God. Number one, even children, I'm sure in Sunday school, if I can have your attention just on this illustration, you remember how God said to Abraham to do what? To offer whom? His son? What's the name of his son? Isaac. You know, Muslims believe it's Ishmael, but the Bible says it's Isaac. It's Isaac, historical. And just imagine Abraham and Isaac walking together for 3 days. That number is symbolic. And they got to the place where now Abraham was supposed to sacrifice his son Isaac. And Isaac looked at his father and he said, Father, it's all in Genesis chapter 22. He said, Father, here is the wood, here is the fire. Where is the lamb? You remember what God said to Abraham or what Abraham said to Isaac? God will provide a lamb for himself. That text in Genesis 22 is not about Isaac, is not about the ram that God has provided in that context, but 2,000 years before the Lord Jesus Christ, that sacrifice was pointing to Christ. A picture again. The second example I want to give you is from Isaiah, I already mentioned. Isaiah chapter 53, and we read there that Christ, like a lamb, was led to the slaughters. Like a lamb, he was led to be slaughtered. The third prophet is Jeremiah. And you know what Jeremiah is telling us? That Christ is like a gentle lamb led to the slaughters. It's in Jeremiah, I believe, chapter 11 and verse 16. So you see again, in all those three instances, these were prophecies made about the coming Lamb of God, which will take away the sin of the world. Oh, my friends, he's the promised Savior. He's the Passover Savior. But he's also the prophesied Lamb of God. Number four, let's look at number four. Now, we come to the text here. The text is very clear. Christ is the pardoning. He gives pardon. He gives forgiveness. He's the pardoning Lamb, Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Do you see your real problem, why you need Christ? Do you see it there? The Lamb of God, which taketh away poverty? No, no, no. He didn't come to eliminate or eradicate poverty in this world. He came because our real and precise problem is sin, my dear friends. Sin has damaged us. And that's why Jesus Christ came into this world. The Lamb which taketh away the sin. And it's interesting, the word take away there means to remove, to cover. He will cover us, to blot away. You see, again, I'm sorry to mention to you these things. Ablution, you take Muslims again. Before they do anything, they take ablutions. They wash parts of their bodies. But you see, that water will never reach your soul. It will never reach your heart. Detergent, acid, fabrics, bleach, hot water, nothing as such will smudge away or remove away your sins. Nothing, but only the blood of Jesus Christ that will wash away your sins. And when a sinner believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, he takes away our greed, our jealousies, our lies, our hatred, our unbelief. Unbelief is enormous, you know. Unbelief is a tragedy. Unbelief is horrible. And as I keep telling you, unbelief is not a matter of intelligence or intellect. Unbelief is a matter of the heart. I just don't want to believe. I will never believe. That's the source. That's the heart of unbelief. Oh, he takes away our disloyalty, our uncleanness, our selfishness, all our sins. Christ died as a sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. He dealt with our condition and our corruption. He did not come just to walk in this world, but he came because he came to remove the guilt of our sins. Why? Because he's blameless, he's spotless, he's sinless, he's innocent, he's perfect, he's sacrificial, he's meek like a lamb, but powerful like God. Do you see the difference again? And I believe that even the picture, he came as a lamb, not as a bull, to bully people. He came as a lamb, not as an ox. He came as a lamb, not as a lion, to devour us. You see, a lamb is meek. A lamb is approachable. I was brought up with those animals as a child. You can hold it in your hands and walk with it. Meek, he is approachable. He has no horns to beat you and to smash you away. No, he is approachable like a lamb. He is holy and harmless. And this is why, my dear friend, as I close, you must come to him with humility as a small person. But look at the last one. Christ has come into this world as also the provider Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Do you see there the provider? It is in the present tense. The Lamb of God which taketh away in the present tense. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ right now, immediately, promptly. All your sins are taken away. You don't have to wait next year or next day or next hour. It doesn't say the Lamb of God, which will take away. But take it away right now. And he's the Savior, not just for one nation or a race, but for the whole world without distinction. There is no sin that he cannot take away. He is the worldwide Savior. No other lamb, no other name will do. God provided the perfect sacrifice, the perfect gift for our souls. You know, it's interesting again, it comes to my mind in the book of Revelation, we read that Jesus Christ looked like a lamb, a slain lamb, but he's standing. It means he died, but he was risen from the dead. On the third day, Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. And 500 people have seen him after his resurrection. It didn't happen in a secret place. Oh, my dear friends, as I close, what must I do to be saved? After I heard all this, Christ is the Savior. He is the Passover Lamb. He is the promised Savior. He is the prophesied. He is the pardoning Lamb of God. He is the providing Lamb of God. What must I do to be saved? Look at that first word, behold. It is an old English word, but it has a great meaning in the Greek. You can preach a whole sermon just on that word. Behold. It is a word of surprise. Look. Don't you see? Why don't you see what God has done for you? That's the meaning of that word. Behold. Oh, it's to get your attention, to put the emphasis. Look, man marvels because man has walked on the moon. No, no, no. The greatest thing that we should marvel about is God stooped down and came and walked in our world. That should make you to wonder. The whole human race can go to the moon. It's not a wonder. But God, who fills heaven and earth, who created the moon, who created the sun, who created the galaxies, who created the planets, who created the firmament, has come into our world in a human body like ours, but without sin. Look. That's the word. And the word here is a word of exclamation. It is a command. Seek, look, notice, consider with great intensity. Look to the Savior with eyes of faith, and you shall be cleansed from all your sins. Listen, look, and live. That's the meaning. Oh, behold, my dear friends, is an invitation. Come to him. Behold, look, come to him. He loves you. He died for you on that cross. And he wants to save you. It is a king inviting us. He suffered and paid the price. You are a part of this world, and Christ is the Savior of the world. Look to him this very moment. Oh, the Pharisees, you remember we read it? The Pharisees, they were asking John the Baptist, tell us, who are you? But they didn't believe. But if you look your Bibles, in John chapter 1, verse 37, two disciples, immediately, when they heard that great exclamation, that command, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. What did they do? They followed him. Oh, come to him, follow him. He's the Lamb of God. Let's pray together.